ba bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba ba.
Is this a mambo or a bossa nova? I just want to know.
That's a good question. There's a fine line between a bossa nova and a mambo. I don't know which one the song would qualify as.
Papa loves mambo.
That's all right. That's true. Papa does love mambo. And when I say Papa, of course, I'm referring to Ernest Hemingway.
Right, I know.
Hi, everybody. It's Bill and Wendy. This is the bonus hour. 1 hour of Wendy and I just going off on whatever we feel like. Unbridled hour of stream of consciousness talk. The kind that you love.
All right. Hopefully.
We're hoping. I don't know what kind of weekend everybody had, but you know who had a bad weekend is Kevin, our producer's brother.
Yeah, I saw on Facebook a lovely picture of the brothers, the bros, if you will, Kevin and his brother.
Who is known affectionately as Kevin's brother.
Right.
That's what his mom and dad named him, Kevin's
Alex.
Brother.
I didn't know if
later,
we were...
years later, they said, this is ridiculous, we have to just settle on a name, and they went with Alex, but for 11 years, they said Kevin and Kevin's brother.
I didn't know if he wanted his name out there, but I don't, no. I guess, why not?
Too late now.
Yes.
It's out there. Yeah. I don't think he had a bad weekend, but maybe not.
There was some times that were.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't.
It didn't go perfectly.
He has an interesting, would this qualify as a hobby, Kevin, or what would you call this?
Yeah, I think at this point it's a hobby.
It's a hobby.
Passion or something. Yeah.
And what would that hobby or passion be?
He's a mixed martial artist.
Which means
he mixes his martial arts.
Yeah, he's a fighter.
Boxing
of many
karate.
Yeah, exactly, of many disciplines.
So they have a fight. They have a whole structure where if you're a mixed martial artist, you go in and you it's in a cage.
Yeah. So well, he had his first cage match this weekend. Exactly. So
and it's literally a cage. It's not called that for fun.
No, it's
you fight inside of a cage.
It's like an octagon that is fenced in.
Yeah.
It's really intense.
True Link Fence sponsors this?
Yes.
Beauty, privacy, security, Wendy.
If they didn't, they will.
All right. So when you get into this match, you're allowed to do what? What is allowed and what is not allowed?
I think the only things that are really not allowed is like shots to the groin.
Biting.
Although it happens.
It happens.
Can you bite?
You cannot bite.
Can you punt? Can you like take your fingers and like get the other guy in the eye with your fingers?
No, that's not allowed. But I think it happens. Like just like the groin shots incidentally happen. Mm. I was told by him that at this level of because you know it's only amateur right now, but at this level you're not supposed to throw elbows. I definitely saw some elbows get thrown.
By Alex or
no,
by the opponent?
In different matches. And knees. Okay. Apparently you're not supposed to throw knees, but I saw both of those things happen.
Don't you think it's kind of like your typical fair rule fight? Like no hair pulling, no eye gouging, no
right.
groin shots.
Let's be gentlemen out there.
Well,
let's behave
yes.
ourselves.
Yeah, and it's a funny thing.
They say that, don't they, in the intro?
Yeah, and then at the end, you know, after they beat the crap out of each other, they hug it out and they're
they
buddies.
They do?
Yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't do that part.
And what's funny is the guy that he fought, his name was Kevin. And so as he's leaving, he's shouting at him, all right, see you later, Kevin. It was, you know, a lot of fun tonight. Spoiler, my brother did not win.
But that should have inspired him to beat the crap out of that guy if that guy's name was Kevin, just to get
know,
back
right?
at you.
I know, exactly. Because I won't fight him anymore. 10 years ago, yeah, no problem. But yeah,
is that common in mixed martial arts fighting where you fight a guy who has the same name as your brother?
I don't think so. And you know, another bizarre thing about it is they looked like twins almost.
Oh, really?
My brother's a redhead and pale. This kid was also a redhead and pale. And yeah, it was just a really bizarre thing.
They don't go by weight classes anymore. They go by physical appearance. Yes.
right.
So in the redhead division, where is his other rank?
And in the redhead corner, we have Alex. And in the other redhead corner, we have Kevin, yeah.
But, how exciting, though, to see this was his very first match, correct?
So he's had kickboxing matches.
He fought
before.
Ron Weasley from Harry Potter a few weeks ago.
I would like to fight Ed Sheeran. He bugs me.
I think Alex could take Ed Sheeran. But, yeah, this is his first cage match.
What do you now, you watched the fight. What went wrong? What did he not do to win?
So, well, I think there was a couple factors in it. Alex, this was his first fight of all. Like, he's never fought in a cage match before. He's done the boxing ring, kickboxing matches, and had some success in that. So he didn't have quite the experience he was looking for, I guess. The guy that he fought against, this was kind of unlucky. He was supposed to fight a jiu-jitsu fighter that had zero cage matches either.
Yeah.
So it was going to be an even slate. the guy dropped, so he last minute had to fight this other fighter that had about 5 to 10 pounds on him. This was this kid's fourth fight. The kid is also like a trainer at his gym. So there was a kind of a slew of factors going against Alex, but he still did a good job. The main thing that went against him was you could tell he didn't have experience in the cage because the kid would kind of pin him up against the fence. And in a boxing ring, you can't really do that as much. You might fall through or something, you know?
Right.
But this is, you're pinned against. And then, so once you had Alex pinned against the fence, he would just drop down and take down his legs. And then, you know, Alex is on the ground and getting punched.
Yeah.
Basically. So
did he explain that? It's not fun.
No, it's not.
That's not fun.
Did he explain it?
Yeah, well, did he explain to the other fighter, hey, I'm new at this.
You don't talk in there. Trash talk,
go
maybe.
Easy on me. I didn't know there'd be a cage. I thought there'd be ropes.
I don't think so. But I told him, I was like, if you're going to be continuing to fight in a cage, you should be training in a cage.
Yeah,
right?
I agree with that.
But, yeah, that's where he stands today.
How long of a fight was it?
It's supposed to go 3 rounds total. He made it to the second round, maybe a minute or two in.
Each round is what? Is how
long? I think
long?
It's 3 minutes. Three minutes. Maybe five. I can't remember. But, he, you know, to Alex's credit, he couldn't fight off the takedowns, but he landed a couple good shots on the kid. He had a few submission attempts. And the way it ended, it was kind of unfortunate. It was in the second round, so they had a nice lather worked up. You know, they were sweaty.
Yeah, I would imagine.
So the guy takes Alex down after Alex punched him in the head once, which
was satisfying
to see, for you know, as his brother.
Sure.
And then the guy goes to take him down, and Alex kind of locks in a choke around this kid's head. And then, they go down to the ground, and Alex is on his back, but he's got this kid's neck in a choke. Wasn't completely locked in, and as Alex is trying to lock this choke in, the kid's kind of, like, climbing up Alex, so he's in a full mount. And then, because they're sweaty, the kid slips out, and next thing you know, Alex is just on his back with his kid on top of him. Yeah.
Oh.
So they called it, and it was a TKO, but Alex, like I said earlier, shot right up after the kid, you know, after
he
called
did.
It, and he wanted to keep fighting the kid, so.
But it was too late.
It was too late.
The judges decided the fight was over.
For their own safety.
Does he have, like a Pauly, like a trainer?
A what?
A Pauly, you know?
Like Pauly Shore?
No.
Somebody you want to just punch the hell out of?
In Rocky, you know, Pauly, Burgess Meredith.
Hey, Rock.
Yeah. Well, cut me poorly, cut me poorly. Like, is there a guy who would cut him if he needed to be cut?
I don't think there's any cutting happening, but no, Alex fights out of Rocky's gym. I'm not sure where it's at. Somewhere in the suburbs. It's called Rocky's Gym.
Oh.
And his coach was Addison Samano, I believe. And
He's good.
I think he's good.
He's good.
And then he had a few teammates there that were all cheering him on and stuff, but yeah. So it's a legit thing.
Was it hard for you to watch your brother get punched a lot?
Yeah, but like, he's been doing this his entire, like, since I've known him. He came
he's
out of the womb kicking.
In this?
You know, the first time I saw him, he punched me in the chin. That's not true. But, no, like, I remember, like, in sixth grade, he was, like, getting in fights in our backyard and posting on YouTube, and I had to tell him that that's not a good idea.
No, don't talk. Yeah. What's the first rule of Fight Club?
Glad he didn't listen to you.
Don't talk right. about Fight Club.
Well, if you're going to fight, sure, whatever, but don't post it on YouTube where your principal and teacher can see it. That's not a good idea.
So would you not want to, because he's younger than you, but you wouldn't want to mess with a guy who's just always fighting, would
no.
you?
Well, no, I used to, like, play wrestle with Alex back in the day. We'd, like, put holes in the walls, and my mom would get really mad, but then there came a day where I was like, whoa. He's kind of strong.
Yeah.
I'm going to stop this. So I have not done that since.
You know, it's funny with brothers. It's like Michael and Dylan, they love each other, but they give each other guff a lot, you know. But it's funny when one, when someone from outside the family busts one of the other, the brother will stick up for him.
Come to his defense.
It's so, watching your brother getting beat up, I'm surprised you didn't want to jump in there and take Kevin, the other Kevin
Elder
down.
Kevin was excuse me, much bigger than me, so I didn't really want to.
Now we understand.
Alex can handle his own.
You did the right thing.
he's good to go, yeah.
When I was a kid, my brother and I every year would ask my parents, we wanted boxing gloves for Christmas, and my parents would just go, absolutely not. Because we would fight. Not all the time, but every now and then we'd fight. And we'd go, this would be a better way. We'd have boxing gloves.
It would be.
But they didn't see it that way. They thought it would be encouraging us to hit each other instead of, you know, making it a more, you know, proper event.
I think that would be a more fair way to take your punches.
Yeah.
You know, I never understood this boys fighting business.
It's just guys just have this weird adrenaline in them, and you know, it's unexplainable.
I have two boys. Prior to this, I did not have two boys. I just don't understand how 1 minute somebody can be punching the heck out of each other and the next minute be, you know, laying there playing video games
right.
next to each other.
Isn't that strange?
Yes.
It's not just boys, though. Like, one of the matches after Alex's was two girls kickboxing each other. Like, and
did you stay for that?
I mean, we were, like, tending to Alex and talking with him, but, you know, I was kind of paying attention, and they were not holding back at all.
No, I bet not.
It was intense. The whole thing is just intense.
Well, and I had said that, you know, my brother and sister are a little older than me. A lot older. But they're only 2 years apart.
Yeah.
And, you know, the first time my guys got in a fight, I'm like, how does that happen? And my sister said, your brother and I used to get into fights
really?
As well. But it's mainly...
A physical fight?
Yeah.
Yeah? Oh.
When they were younger, I mean, not older. I'm talking, you know, under 10.
I couldn't hit a girl for any reason. There'd be no...
That's why my sister won all the time, because I don't know that
he
my...
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't trust him.
No.
But when they're little kids, I don't know that you learn that. But then, you know, hearing you and Kevin, it's like, yeah, brothers sometimes get in physical fights. I'm like, how does that happen? Be like sisters where you're just mean to each other and take
mentally.
Each other's clothes.
Yeah. Mental cruelty is way better than physical cruelty. I don't get that either.
No, I get the mental cruelty. I don't get the physical. Isn't that how Jim McMahon... he had his eye issue. Was it he and his brother that were fighting and he got a fork in the eye?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure. I didn't know if it was his brother, but I know that's what happened. I'm pretty sure that's the story.
How about this fight that's coming up? It's Mayweather and who?
McGregor.
So one of them is a racist and the other one's a homophobe. Have you been reading about these guys?
Really?
About the things they say to each other? They keep, like, they say the most, I can't even repeat what they've said to each other, but it's obvious that McGregor is a racist and that McGregor is a homophobe.
Mayweather.
Yeah, is a homophobe.
I don't know that either is the case, personally.
It's just
you
trash
think it's set
talk.
Up?
I think this, there's just, they're trying to sell tickets right now, and they're, like, these conferences
and that's going to work?
I mean, they're building up so much hype, and it's going to be the most boring fight ever. I'm convinced of that.
Well, traditionally, whenever they do this weigh-in, you get them doing this stare down, and then there's always a little extracurricular activity. But the things that they have said to each other are just unexcusable.
You know, no pun intended. They're pulling no punches.
Right.
It's intense. But
right.
They're entertainers, and they're just trying to sell tickets. I mean,
yeah,
for what's going to be a boring fight.
I used to love boxing. I mean, love it.
Yeah.
I loved Oscar De La Hoya, Golden Boy. He was awesome. Lennox Lewis.
Muhammad Ali was okay.
No, I'm. But that
he
I
was okay.
Obviously,
but your era was Lennox Lewis.
Yeah, that's when I kind of got into it, and I would go to the Ramada Rumbles, Bobby Hitz.
For oh yeah, local I guy remember those.
I got to give a belt away.
You did?
Yeah, to the winner.
Yeah.
And I really liked watching boxing, and I refuse to pay for it now. I refuse to pay for a pay per view. And when you watch it the next time, you know, if you don't watch it when it's happening,
right.
It stinks. It's way too much money.
Yeah, because you already know who won, so it's not as much fun. Did your mom sit through this, Kevin?
Yeah.
What was that
both my
for her?
Did.
But your dad, I can see, but for a mom to watch her son get
she was hiding her eyes,
up.
But my dad was way more intense about it. Like, he, in the first round, Alex, the guy was kind of, you know, they do a little clapper when there's 10 seconds left in the ring, and at that point, Alex was on his back in the first round, too, but he was holding his own, holding the guy off. When they heard that 10-second click, the guy just, you know, went all out to try to finish him off there.
Yeah.
Didn't work. Alex made it out, but at that point, my dad was, like, shouting, like, you know, end the fight, no more. And I had
really?
To like, pull my dad back, yeah.
Wow. That's intense.
That's got to be hard to watch.
That would
but
be
that's
very
their
hard
sport.
To watch.
Right.
That's their sport.
Well, that's. I mean, for me, like, I understand the sport a little bit. I like to watch it here and there, not in person and not when it's my brother as much, but...
But your mom's never said to him, we'd prefer...
Yeah, they have.
...play some badminton or something.
But to me, I think for all of us, it's kind of cool to see him so driven, you know? Like,
sure.
He didn't have the motivation for it. Like, I went and watched him wrestle in middle school, and he, like, they called him up, and he wasn't ready. He lost his shoe midway through the match. It was just like, you know.
And now he's focused.
And now
and
he's
likes
focused
it.
And driven, and it's kind of cool to see.
We were talking about siblings fighting, which, honestly, I just didn't get. And Matt, how's it going? We haven't talked to you in a little while.
Yes. Hello, Wendy. I love that shirt. I wore it a couple days ago, and my mom asked me, who is that? I'm like, oh, that's Wendy from WG, and oh, that's adorable.
Payback is a Wendy shirt. The much-coveted Payback is a Wendy shirt.
Glad you like it.
Thank you for that. It made a great birthday gift. All right. So here's the thing.
Yes.
When I was three, I shot my sister with a water gun.
Yeah.
That's not a bad thing.
Well, no, no. Well, it gets worse. So I shot my sister with a water gun. Apparently she was getting going out on a date, so she had to go change. She got really upset, and she didn't mean to, like, actually choke me, but she choked me. And I ran and told my mom, and now I want you to imagine this for a second. There's a long hallway, and at the end of the hall, there's a single door, and that's my sister's room. And my sister had, like, half the floor to herself, so it's like, 20, 30 feet from either side of the room.
Yeah.
So my dad and I are standing there, and we can hear mom yelling at my sister. And then all of a sudden, you see my mom from the other side of the room, 30 feet, get thrown halfway all across the room into the desk. And my dad and I were, mind you, I'm keeping the language tame because it's radio.
Yeah.
But my dad and I were like, oh, my God, what? And my sister is only 8 years older than me. She's 11, and she threw my mom 30 feet.
She threw your mom? Was your sister Moose Cholak?
Yeah, and wait, I thought she was getting ready to go on a date at 11, and I hope your mom canceled the date after that.
No, she did. She did.
Good
God. But the only way they could calm her down, they had to sit on her.
Wow.
All right, maybe I don't have it so bad.
No, not at all.
Thank you, Matt.
Thanks, Matt.
And happy belated birthday.
We have a winner.
That is, yeah, you don't throw your parents.
You're not supposed to.
You could throw your sibling.
Right. You must draw the line.
Oh, I should have kept him on the line. We could have gotten his mom and his sister in a cage match.
That would have been fun. That would have been a lot of fun. All right, we will take a quick break. We've got some news, and then there's more show. Stay here. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Jude.
I can't speak for you. I hope you feel the same way. I will miss Brian Campbell a lot.
That shocked me today.
As a Blackhawk, but I'm thrilled that he's still going to be a member of the Blackhawks.
Didn't he just come back to the Blackhawks?
Yeah, last year. Yeah.
But he had been with them before.
Right. I remember it, but I was like, I feel like he just got here.
He did.
The second time, yeah.
And he's going to be in the business office? What does that mean?
The front office.
Oh, I thought I heard business.
Listen to us, the front office.
The front office, not the business office.
Is he going to work for HR now?
Yeah, he'll be in charge of HR for the Blackhawks.
Can you imagine?
So if anything,
when you hit that guy, what did you mean by that?
Right. There'll be a lot of questions. A lot of questions. So I'm glad he's still with the Blackhawks in some capacity, but he just had a zest for the game that I like to see. That's kind of sad. A couple things. Number one, the world of show business lost two notable names, two very important names over the weekend. The first was Martin Landau.
What a fantastic actor.
Yeah, he was, wasn't he?
Going to IMDb and looking at all the stuff in, you know, several Twilight Zones, Movies Aplenty, Entourage, forgot about that.
Mm-hmm. Mission Impossible,
yeah,
where he played a character, I think, named Martin Hand, I think.
Oh, I think you're right.
Is that right? So he was on Mission Impossible for a bunch of years. Space 1999 comes to mind also. Did you ever watch that ever?
It's ringing a bell. Why, what was that?
That was him and Barbara Bain, who was also in Mission Impossible. Barry...
I'm Bane.
Not Bane from Batman. Although... Barbara Bain's voice
was
almost identical to that. I ran into her once in a restaurant in Los Angeles, and she was so rude to me.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. It's the strangest thing. I was out there for a stand-up project, and I was in a restaurant, and I looked over, and she was all by herself, and I was there with some other guys, some other stand-up guys, and I was a fan of her work on Mission Impossible. And I said, I want so badly to go over. She's just sitting by herself. And they're like, well, just go say hello. And I'm like, I don't know. Some stars want to be left alone and some want to talk. And I can't gauge it. You know, I hate sitting in a restaurant by myself. But I imagine over the years, 1,000 guys came up and wanted to chat her up. And maybe she just wanted to eat and be left alone.
Right.
And I just went over and I said, excuse me, Miss Bain. And I was about to just say that thing, which is, I just want to say a quick hello, and I'm a fan. That was my goal. And she just goes, young man, can't you see I'm eating like that? And okay. And I started to walk away, and she goes, no, you don't think that's rude for a guy to... And I go,
she
no,
continued?
I get, yeah, and I'm walking away, and then as I'm walking, she's still being louder as I'm walking.
Admonishing you?
Yeah.
Shame on her.
Shame on Barbara Bain. Bain on her.
What did you think his name was in Mission Impossible?
I thought it was Martin Hand.
Rollin Hand.
Oh, was it?
R-O-L-L-I-N.
Rollin Hand.
Or Roland Hand. I don't know.
A funny name.
God, he was in Gunsmoke, The Man from U.N.C.L.E., The Big Valley. He was in everything.
Not as a regular, as like an episode here and an episode there.
Still,
Mission Impossible
though,
was the one that put him on the map. And I believe he won the Academy Award. I know he was nominated, but I think he won for the movie Ed Wood,
yes,
where he played Bela Lugosi.
I think he did.
He was so good in that.
He was in, this is wild, although not really when I think about it, he was in The Twilight Zone and Alfred Hitchcock Presents.
A lot of people.
Which
were.
There was a lot of bleed over because there weren't, a ton of people that could do that.
Because he was a serious actor. Almost every era, if you watch TV shows from the 60s, you'll see a lot of the same, people showing up. And that still happens today. There's a lot of people that just show up on whatever show is available. They're just working actors.
Right. But Space 1999, the crew of Moonbase Alpha must struggle to survive when a massive explosion throws the moon from orbit into deep space.
Is it Barry Morse, who's the guy I'm thinking of, who played the commander on the show?
I got to be honest with you. I don't remember
the
this.
Credits. He's a British actor who played Detective Gerard on The Fugitive, Barry Morse. But when he was in The Fugitive, it's not like now where a ton of actors are British actors just doing American accents. Back then, that was kind of unusual. So like the whole time he was in The Fugitive, I think everybody thought he was an American actor, but he wasn't. He was British.
And what was his character name?
On Space 1999 or on...
Who are you asking about? I'm sorry.
I think
Barry
his name
Morse.
Is Barry Morse.
Yes, he was Professor Victor Bergman.
Yeah, that's it.
Barbara Bain also in that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because I think they were married at the time. I think
Martin Landau and Barbara Bain?
Yeah.
I didn't know they were
married.
I think
that's why she got mad at me, because she thought I was trying to hone in on Martin Landau's territory, and I wasn't.
Look at you.
I was just trying to be nice, but she's like, because she yelled at me, "You'll never replace Martin Landau," as I'm walking across the restaurant.
Did not.
She threw a roll at me. I still have a mark where a roll hit me in the head.
The Return of the $6 Million Man and the Bionic Woman.
Yeah, he was in that, Martin Landau.
He was in everything.
His IMDb page, you got to get a second server. It goes on forever.
And there's some things in Without Ward, he plays
Ward.
If
it's in pre-production, he's not going to finish
it. Right, that's post-production.
All right, he'll be in that. That's about Ward Cleaver. That's about the father on Leave It Beaver.
Yes.
Now, again, if I was in a restaurant with Barbara Bain and I said that, she'd stab me with a knife.
I can maybe see why she admonished you and threw a roll at you.
Wendy, I'm serious. I was being as polite as could be, and I was being tentative, like she might welcome some company, but she might not want it. But she just was so mean to me. And I liked her a lot, Barbara Bain. Not anymore. I got a show business feud going with Barbara Bain. You want in on it?
No, I'm going to stand back and watch.
It's not going to end pretty.
I will keep watching.
My fight with Barbara Bain is not going to end pretty.
89 years old, Martin Landau.
Oh, man.
He was really cool.
I mean, look at how long he worked. He worked from the time he was like in his 20s or 30s, and he's still doing stuff in post-production. So
he was a winner of an Academy Award for his supporting performance.
As Bela Lugosi, right?
In Tim Burton's Ed Wood.
Did you ever see that?
Yeah, no. I didn't.
It's a really strange, offbeat movie. Johnny Depp is in it. Bill Murray's in it. But he's so good in it because Bela Lugosi was a very complex guy. He hit it big with Dracula, but then after that, he was kind of typecast. He'd go in and he was in a couple other horror movies and stuff, but he didn't get any big parts in movies because people go, "Oh, people aren't going to believe." First of all, he's got the thick Romanian accent.
Yeah.
And he's also Dracula. So the last couple of years of his life were miserable. He turned to drugs and stuff like that. And, for most people, when they saw him in Ed Wood, it was an eye-opener. You go, oh, man, that's how Bela Lugosi's life ended? That's awful.
I got to watch that.
It's a bittersweet tale.
He gave a notable performance in North by Northwest.
Yeah, the Hitchcock movie.
And he later earned Academy Award nominations for Tucker, The Man and His Dream.
Oh, I forgot he was in Tucker.
And Crime and Misdemeanors.
That's a Woody Allen movie.
Oh.
He's good in that.
And also Killers of the Flower Moon.
I never heard of that.
All right.
That's what I was bringing up with Barbara Bain when she hit me with a cannoli.
I thought it was a roll.
First it was a roll, and then she asked the waiter.
Pegging you?
She said to the waiter, I'm not done pummeling this young man. Please bring me a cannoli. And then she hit me with a cannoli after that. And I said, you are looking at a show business feud, Miss Barbara Bain. That's how it ended.
Another death, too.
The other death, also from the world of horror, is George Romero.
I wouldn't be watching The Walking Dead without him.
It really was the beginning of the new kind of zombie movie, because for a while in Hollywood, when they made zombie movies, this is terrible to say, but it's true. A zombie movie, like back in the 40s, they used to take like natives, like African American people, and they had this whole weird zombie mythos that took place in Africa, and then they tried to bring it to the United States, and it was ridiculous at best. But then Romero came up with this idea of having zombies that, like, that still holds up modern day, where they're, you know, they're the Walking Dead, and it's really a much scarier version of zombies.
Was the original Night of the Living Dead black and white?
Yeah.
Okay, because I got to tell you,
it's really scary.
It really creeped
it's
me
very
out,
scary.
And to this day, if I come upon it, and the only thing is, those zombies move so slowly, you feel like you could outrun them, but I guess if there's a pack of them, it's kind of hard to get away.
In the Romero movies, they all walk real slowly.
Really slowly.
But then there's been a new kind of zombie.
They've been working out and stuff.
Today's zombie is
They're
not
in great
afraid
shape.
To go to a health club from time to time to eat right. Right? It's not the old days where they would just, you know, let themselves go.
Right.
Today's zombies, you know, they could live / die forever. They're in great shape. Thanks, Romero, George Romero.
But can I tell you that part of the creepiness of Night of the Living Dead, the original movie, is that they are moving so slowly, because there's like no escaping them, especially when they all group up. But you think you can escape, but you can't.
No.
It's really creepy.
Right. And also, it's weird because you have, like, if you compare those monsters, the Walking Dead zombie types, to your big four, and that would be Dracula, the Wolfman, the Mummy, and who am I leaving out? Frankenstein.
Oh, how could you forget him?
I don't know how I forgot him.
I was going to say the Creature from the Black Lagoon, but he wasn't as
kind of on the edge.
Yeah, he's an amphibian.
Right. Phantom of the Opera is kind of on the edge. There's a few guys...
Listen to what you're saying.
Right. But these guys are dangerous because if you watch these movies, it's your this guy was your ally, your friend a minute ago, then he got bit, and now he's the bad guy. The Mummy was never your friend. The Wolfman wasn't your friend. But this guy was your friend, and now he's trying to eat your brains. That's rude.
Mine would only be like an appetizer. That's what I would say.
Right.
You don't want mine.
Look at that guy over there.
Smarter.
There's a full brain right over there. Go for the buffet. Don't be gnawing on my brain. You got a taste of your brain right there.
I would be trying. And I know you'd do that too, because what is you run faster than your friend can.
That's the key to survival. Run faster than your friend at all times. Also, kudos to Romero, because he made the lead character in Night of the Living Dead an African-American actor.
Yeah.
And that just wasn't done.
What year was that?
66 or 7, maybe?
I can't
believe Night of the Living Dead, does it say there?
I'm trying to find the original.
68?
He was 77 when he died. But yes, 1968 per Kevin.
Now, here's what's weird about the Walking Dead movies. The first one was Night of the Living Dead, and that was really good. And then the second one was also good, but then they kept getting worse after that.
Yeah.
Day of the Dead is horrible.
Dawn of the Dead?
Dawn of the Dead is really good. That's
really?
The one in the mall. That's the second one.
Oh,
yeah. Dawn of the Dead is really good. So Night of the Living Dead was pretty good. No, you know what? It was very good, especially for, you know, at the time, and it's so low budget and stuff. And then Dawn of the Dead is much better. But then by the time he did the third and the fourth one, I don't know what happened. They just weren't good anymore. Because you know what? Because other people were doing them better.
Yeah, but that kind of was the beauty of it, is it there weren't a ton of special effects.
No.
It was That's
right.
And then everything got so computer animated, right, kind of thing. It became, I don't want my zombies looking too real.
Right, right. Now, here's an interesting thing about Night of the Living Dead. In the movie, which wasn't a big hit in, you know, when it was in theaters, it became a big hit because they showed it ad nauseum on television. I don't know if, I can't figure out why, but it almost went into public domain and stations were showing it all the time. So there's a couple of scenes in there where there's a completely naked, there's a zombie that's a naked lady. And I don't know what was going on, but on Channel 32 in the middle of the day, if you watch Night of the Living Dead, there, one of the zombies is a naked lady
you
walking
across.
You
got to across. See it?
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't like close up or anything like that, but still, you know, now you have to realize you're a girl and I'm a guy. So for guys.
I forget. Thanks for reminding me.
Oh, I got it written down, Wendy. Here, look, it's on my sheet. So guys always know. Like, there's a network, like, when you were growing up, and we grew up kind of in the 70s mostly. So, there's an episode of Monty Python where there's a naked lady. There was the show Steam Bath on Channel 11 that had Valerie Perrine without a shirt on for a couple of seconds. So, guys, like, they network and they go, hey, there's going to be a naked lady on TV 3 o'clock on Wednesday, and then everybody watches it. So, Night of the Living Dead, every time it was on, there were no kids in my neighborhood playing outside because everybody was inside watching Night of the Living Dead going, look, there's the naked ladies walking across. There she
yeah,
is.
Yeah, but they're zombie
naked
boobs.
When you're 12 years old.
Boobs are boobs.
You're not going to, yeah, you're not going to complain. I brought this up once with Barbara Bain in a restaurant. she did not want to hear it.
Maybe that's why she threw oyster crackers at you. Oh, now it's pudding.
Yeah, she whipped some pudding at me at a restaurant. Barbara Bain did. Very rude. Very rude. So we mourn the loss of both George A. Romero, the creator of the Living Dead movies, and Martin Landau.
They never worked together, did they?
No. Nope. That's the saddest part of the story, is their one dream to one day do a project together about Roland Hahn coming back from the dead never came to fruition. Very sad.
I'm sorry to hear about that.
Yep.
I think everybody should go online and look at the police sketch that has been released. The Chicago Tribune State Police released an artist sketch Monday, today, of a man considered the main suspect in the killings of two Northern Indiana girls. And I'm wondering now if finally this sketch is out there, if something's going to happen. They urge the public to study this image, provide tips that could help them identify the suspect. This composite sketch depicts a white man, prominent nose and a goatee, who was wearing a cap, excuse me, what appears to be a hoodie, a hooded sweater. Police said the suspect has reddish brown hair, stands between 5'6" and 5'10", weighs between 180 and 220 pounds. Liberty German 14 vanished with 13-year-old Abigail Williams on February 13th. They were hiking a trail near their hometown of Delphi, Indiana. It's about 60 miles northwest of Indianapolis. Their bodies were found the next day in nearby woods, and they're not divulging how the girls were killed. There was a video of a man.
I remember seeing that video a long time ago.
And they've more
but
than...
But you couldn't make out.
No.
It was like from a long distance, right?
But this is... do go online and look it up. It's everywhere. Delphi, Indiana composite sketch. More than $230,000 in reward is being offered for any information leading to an arrest or arrests in conviction in these teens' killings. It's just bad. These kids were just going out on a hike. They didn't return. And I just hope people who... I got to tell you, the guy looks pretty familiar, which makes me think everybody's going to say, oh, he's kind of... It's just your everyman look.
Now, whenever they... I'm always curious about this because for some reason, I don't think in the criminal mind way. But if you're that guy and all of a sudden this sketch comes out of you... Don't you, first of all, shave the goatee. Take the hat off. Do whatever you can to not look like that guy.
Yeah, it said his hair was reddish, so yeah, you dye your hair.
Yeah.
Or bleach it out.
Yeah.
The sketch is the first new information released by authorities about the suspect since late February.
Why did it take this long for the sketch to be released?
Indiana State Police Sergeant Kim Riley said the sketch is an artist composite of the information that they have collected by all the agencies involved. Riley said investigators consider the sketch a very important development. So they were piecing together all the reports they had.
Yeah.
Maybe witnesses that perhaps saw this guy, and just it took them a while to get it together.
But all right, here's what's confusing to me anyway. When this video came out months ago, you said February, right?
Yeah.
All right. So the video was released almost immediately, and it was so far off in the distance, and you couldn't really make out any of what the guy looked like, really. But I know that there's a huge difference between movies and television and real life. But whenever something like this happens in movies or television, they somehow focus on the pixels, they zero in on it, and then they do something on their computer, and it gets really clear, and then they know what the guy looks like. Is that just the product of movies and TV, or do they have that technology?
I believe they do have that technology, Bill. But it was really grainy, the information that they have. And I got to be honest with you, the sketch doesn't look like very much like the guy.
Not even close. So how did they determine, based on the footage they had, that that guy looks more like the sketch? Although we know from the past, Ted Kaczynski is the most perfect example of this.
It was Weird Al Yankovic.
It looked exactly like Weird Al Yankovic. It looked nothing like Ted Kaczynski. It didn't even look a little bit like Ted Kaczynski. So I don't know if these sketches help or hurt the situation.
Well, authorities in Delphi, Indiana, and Indianapolis are saying that this sketch is really important to get out there. The grainy picture that was taken from the video in Delphi, Indiana on February 13th looks like Billy Clyde Tuggle from
All My Children.
All My Children.
Yeah.
What's the actor's name again?
Matthew Cowles.
I knew you would know it. God,
Matthew
you are
Cowles.
My lifeline. Thanks, more sir. Than more than not.
Thank you. The late Matthew Cowles.
Yeah, I thought he passed
died
away
a few years ago.
But the composite sketch that they have really doesn't look like it, but they've taken into consideration everything that they've found. So do yourself a favor, because that guy's out there somewhere.
Yeah.
Somebody knows that guy.
Right, without a doubt. Isn't it also strange when they age a photo? Like a lot of times if a child is abducted when they're two or three, they'll use that age processing and they'll go, here's what they'd look like today. I wonder how accurate that is.
Yeah, I want to know, and I feel bad because a lot of those missing kids don't get found.
No, a lot of them, yeah.
So if one does get found, I would like to see how close
if
that
is.
If
it's even similar or not.
Because
really,
I mean, they just make their head a little bigger because they've grown up, maybe add more hair.
Yeah.
It doesn't, I don't know how they do it.
I don't know how it could be accurate. I don't know. All right, we'll do this. We'll take a quick break, and then in a little while, we'll come back, and we'll tell you other things. And you'll nod and go, those are things I didn't know. So that's coming up next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. All right, it's Bill and Wendy with you for just a couple more minutes. We have another show tomorrow, the Tuesday show. Hope you'll enjoy that. But first, a quick side bet. O.J. Simpson is up for parole in a couple of days. As our side bet, is he let out of prison or is he retained? What do you think?
I believe this is happening Thursday.
Thursday, yeah.
I think he gets released.
You think he's out of prison on Thursday?
I mean, how many years has he been in prison right now for this?
I don't know the answer to that.
I've heard 9 years. Does that sound right?
Oh, is it that long?
Maybe he got 9 years and he didn't. I mean, if you think about what O.J. Simpson did, and that is perhaps murdering two people.
They found him not guilty.
I know, and that's why I don't know how you do this. I know that they trumped the years that he's spending in jail now because of what happened in the past, even though you're not supposed to do that.
The parole board is not supposed to take into account prior crimes.
How could you
crimes.
Not?
Right.
I just don't understand.
Especially when it's the case of the century, which it was.
Yes. O.J. Simpson has been a model prisoner because, can I be honest with you, if I was in jail, I would be a model prisoner too.
Yeah.
Because I want to get out.
Play by the rules.
And isn't life a little easier? Don't they slip you an extra, you know, Cherry's Jubilee if you're being nice to them?
I think most prisons do exactly what you said. You get an extra Cherry's Jubilee or death by chocolate if you prefer.
Everybody's saying I'd say the odds are with him to
get out on Thursday.
Good chance from his Nevada prison term.
Kevin, can you get him either Thursday or Friday?
I could probably get him Wednesday evening, just in preparation, maybe.
Mm, No, because we're not on then.
Well, okay, I guess.
Justin Kaufman would have him on.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point.
So try to get them either Thursday or Friday during our show.
Oh.
During the daytime.
Well, they're televising it. They're not going to let him out. Like, he doesn't just get to leave, does he? Doesn't he have to gather his things?
I wonder.
Get his shank and everything and put it in a box?
Yeah.
Shank or shiv? Which do you prefer?
That'll be the game show he hosts on NBC. Summer's just got a little hotter. O.J. Simpson, shank or shiv, Wednesdays on NBC. I wonder if he will. We'll find out. We're just a couple days away.
Orenthal James, the juice.
But then he can continue his search for the person who ruined his life, who killed his ex-wife, because he said he's not going to rest until that's done, so he can pick that quest up again. Or golf. He could do that, too.
I think he wants to watch the O.J. Simpson story that was on.
He hasn't
the
seen
People
that.
Versus O.J. Simpson, because remember, they would not let him watch it.
Right.
They didn't have that cable subscription.
Right. So he missed out on that.
Which, that's got to be just burning at him, you know?
You get to see Cuba Gooding Jr. playing him.
So over the top.
Just a little. Just a little. All right. Well, we'll find out in 3 short days.
Well, what
days.
Do you say? You say he's not going to get released? I say he's going to get released.
I'm not sure.
I'm
not sure who I'm rooting for in this one.
Not rooting. I just think that he is going to be released. He served his time.
I guess so. Yeah. And with the promise that he can't steal any more sports memorabilia.
Especially not with a gun.
Right. He must sign an affidavit that clearly states that his sports memorabilia stealing days are over.
And that was stuff that he claims belonged to him,
yeah.
Right? And somebody
yeah.
was selling it to make a profit.
Yeah.
And so he got wind of the fact that those pieces were going to be there, and he came in
them.
With a gun.
Yep.
That's
got a short
stupid.
Fuse, that O.J. Simpson.
Why don't you get someone else to do it for you?
Right.
Although, does he have money?
His friend A.C.
He'd do it so slowly.
Air conditioner Colin. All right. Well, we must stop. Enough of this nonsense.
All right. Well, we'll see.
Show's over. We'll find out. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we're looking forward to tomorrow's show. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.